I want to thank everyone here in the congregation for all your great hospitality and the warm welcome that we have received over here, and everything that you've done behind the scenes. Some we've seen, I'm sure there's some we haven't seen at all, but I just want to tell you I really appreciate it. And I appreciate the love that I see here and your desire for the Lord. And I want to encourage you to just keep that right up. There's one thing I believe is inherent. It's one of the things that we as humans all have to deal with. You're not just like me. None of you are. I'm unique, and there's probably some of my old hard-headed German ways that might rub you wrong. But you ask God for grace. And when you're praying for your grace, you pray for the Lord to help Brother Ivan too. You know what this does for congregations? You know, the Lord really wants you and I to be focused on Him. And we are always going to go through periods of time that God doesn't want us to be the same. He chose us in our own individual ways. And we're all different places, and He wants to use who you are as you are, and He wants to be purified and sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and He wants to take that stone, that lively stone, and fit you into the body exactly where you belong. And don't ever think that because you're not a preacher that you're not very important. There are some times the preachers can't do what they need to do without you. And in the Sunday school lesson this morning, the adult Sunday school lesson, talked about the harvest is truly great. Laborers are few. And I thought during that time about the harvest crews that used to go out. And that harvest crew had to have somebody who was getting up early and making breakfast. And then slaving over the hot stove throughout the day. And that person may have felt nobody really cared. But I'm going to tell you, every one of those hungry men who was out there expending they were happy when that meal came around. So you may feel like you're back in the shadows, but maybe that's exactly where God wants you. All be happy for the place and just do it as unto the Lord. And let the pleasure of the Lord fill your soul while you're doing it. Get your confirmation from the Lord. I'm happy to be right there. Well, that's not my message this morning. I just want to encourage you on those lines. I assume, you know, sometimes as a pastor, sometimes it's hard to get up here. Maybe the pastor knows everybody, knows all the intricacies. But I just find out that wherever I go in life, we're all different. And sometimes our differences, the devil would like to accentuate those in such a way that He would cause us to try to pull apart instead of pull together. Don't let Him do that. Focus on the things of the Lord. And again, I just want to tell you I love you, and I appreciate very much all you've done for us while we're here. And I'll just open up to you a little bit right now. I'm a terrible receiver. Be careful, sister. This is my whole congregation. It's hard. I'll just pray for me. I've always had this, I want to be self-sufficient. That's part of me. And for somebody to come and give something to me, it's almost impossible for me to receive. I was telling some of that to Brother Michael the other day, and he said, "Well, Brother Ivan, it's a good time for you to learn some humility." He's right. But we all need each other's prayers and support. And I do want to say from the depths of my heart, I appreciate and love the saints here. I would also, what I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart this morning, I want to share it with you. Probably whenever we all got ready to come here today, there's a lot of activities we're having to get ready to come to services. And one of the things we probably all did is stopped by something that reflected our image. We call it the mirror. And I want to talk to you about the value of a mirror today. The value of a true reflection. Now there are some mirrors that I have seen that didn't give a perfect reflection. But we can look into the perfect law of liberty. And blessed is the man who looks into it. And acknowledges what he sees reflected there. And allows the truth that comes back to you and I. Allows it to have the eternal effect that God intended for it to have. I was thinking also of how there are sometimes in school or sometimes different projects, I have wanted to trace something. And I have put it over something that I could backlight it with a strong light. And I wanted to trace this thing, and I overlaid it with another piece of paper, and then I was careful how I traced, because you could see the reflection as it came through. God has divinely and with an intense light backlit. Maybe if I can say it like that, I'm probably to say it a little bit later, a little different later. But the Lord has backlit His truth. Let me remind you of what the Lord did when Jesus came, and remember when He was baptized? Remember what the confirmation was? He said, "This is My beloved Son. Hear ye Him." There can't be a higher confirmation than that. And now the Lord has so focused the great light of who He is on His dear Son, and He wants you and I to overlay, if I can say it this way, put ourselves upon the pattern. A blank sheet of paper. Don't preconceive how you feel like you need to be. Come with a blankness and say, "Lord, I want to be overlaid on You. And so shine and burn Your image into me. I want to be able to trace out Your glory. Those places that I see, I want them to look like You. If there's something here that's incorrect, give me a good eraser so I can erase this. And I want to trace back where You are." And the Lord has so confirmed to you and I. And not just back then when Jesus came out of the water. He said, all through our lives, He confirms to you and I the glory of His dear Son. And He says to you and confirms periodically in our lives, confirms, "This is My Son. Hear ye Him." He says, "This is My word. This is the way. Walk ye in it." And allow the confirmation of the Lord to you and I today. Be that, look into that perfect law. Look into that perfect of liberty. And the Lord gives you and I we can reject it, but also when we receive it, it causes such a release, such a pureness of our life. The seeds that are grown there are so real, so pure, so right. And God wants you and I to reap that type of a harvest. All right. Also, I want to, there's a verse over in 2 Corinthians. I want to turn there. 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. Again, bring up some of this thought about a mirror. Now, what they had in the Bible, I don't know whether the word, didn't really look up to see where the word mirror was in the Bible. But there are places it talks about a glass.
Yeah.
And when they're talking about a glass, they're talking about the, many times the reflective ability that you can see here. Over here in 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, and right toward the latter part of the chapter, 18th verse says, "But we all with open face." Now God wants you and I to take down our resistances with open face. I'm not hiding anything now. You know, sometimes I have looked at mirrors and I really don't like them, because they reflect exactly who I am. And then I'm confronted with the knowledge that everybody has to see what I'm seeing in that mirror. But that mirror tells me the truth. That mirror doesn't cut corners. It's impersonal. It says this is who you are. And I want to tell you, God is also the same way. He does love us. He's not impersonal, but He loves us enough to be very truthful with us. And He sets the mirror, and then we, with open face. Now listen, this is how we should approach the Lord. Not making excuses. Not trying to change, I don't like the image here, so I'm going to look over. You remember the story, mirror, mirror on the wall? Who's the fairest? And I want you to tell me exactly what I want to hear. No, we need to approach with open face, saying, tell me who I am. I've got to know who I am. Because I want that to be traced over the strong confirmation, the backlighting of the glory of the Lord shining through His dear Son down to you. And I want that impression burnt upon my life. I want that impressed so firmly, so clearly on my life that when people begin to look and see you and I, they begin to see an image other than me. God wants to see. He wants people to see in you and I something other than the old carnal flesh. He wants to see the glory of the Lord being developed in humans just like you and I. But we all, with open face, beholding the glory of the Lord. How can I change from where I am? How can I get there? Behold the glory. With open face, acknowledging, honestly seeing it, beholding the glory. And as I behold the glory, one of the things that it does, it has such an impact on who I am. I see that. And then I see me. Beholding the glory of the Lord, I have the opportunity now to retrace. Us with open face now, beholding the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from what? Glory to glory. There's nobody here today has arrived. You may feel like I have lived, and Brother Vernon, you've been with the Lord for a number of years, but the Lord's not done working with you. I don't care, we haven't lived for the Lord so long that He's not through tracing. He says from glory today, and thank the Lord for the victories we have today in our life, and what we have seen, what we have acknowledged, and what the Lord's been able to work with and change in our life, but He's not through. He wants to work today and tomorrow from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. Until the day comes when He can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He wants us every day to maintain this passion for the things of the Lord. Being open-faced. Not resenting what He says to you and I, but receiving and saying, that's me, Lord. With open face, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the divine intervention, even by the Holy Spirit of God. And I don't want to sidetrack here very much, but there are a lot of times that in this world today, there's a lot of people would like to say, here's the evidence of the Holy Spirit, or here's the evidence of the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you, this is the greatest evidence of the Holy Spirit that there can be. It's when the working, the divine working of God's Holy Spirit in our life begins to change you and I from glory to glory. And when we have that, we need no other evidence. That's sufficient. That's what I need. And we definitely, desperately need to have that at work in our life. I'd like to look over here now into James. I believe this connects with this glass. A lot of times when we look into this looking glass, we look into the perfect law of liberty. It's going to be very truthful with us. It's going to tell us who we are. And a lot of times we can be defensive about what I see there. And we are going to have decisions as we go through life. Well, you can decide to protect my old carnal flesh and say, but I have reasons to feel that way. We can decide to take that position. I want to tell you, if we harbor those things will grow. And I'm not saying this to you to tell you, you know, you've got to submit to me. I'm not saying that. I'm saying submit to God. And I'm not saying this to say, well, we've just got to, I can't stand up and be strong. No, I'm saying the best way to get victory in your life is to humble down. If you want to be a successful person, if you really want to feel the peace and the fulfillment of life, it sounds like a paradox, but you humble down when the Lord shows you. Humble down. Receive it. And it's not really a paradox at all. You begin to feel the greatest fulfillment of life, and you stand up like a man. You feel the joy of the Lord, the real, the true, the pure. Over here in James, the first chapter, the 16th verse, he says, "Don't err, my beloved brother. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, comes from the Lord." And it says here, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father. This says of lights, and I don't want to do violence to it, but listen, let me put it in some different words. It comes down from the Father of revealing. Light, when it comes to in our hearts, dear ones, when the Lord begins to walk through the secret places of our heart, He begins to shine light and reveal where we are. Every good gift, everything, this comes from the Lord. And when He comes down to you and I, He begins to shed light abroad in our hearts. And it comes down from the Father of the revealing, of the exposing, of bringing you and I to the place of honest acceptance of who we are. It comes from God. Don't reject it. These are good gifts. They come down from the Father Himself. And with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. What this lets me know is He's truth and He's always truth. He's right. He's God. He's always God. He's there and He's faithful and He loves you, always loves you. His thoughts toward you and I are thoughts of peace and not of evil, for the very express purpose to bring us to an expected end, the very home of our soul. That's what God wants for you and I. You can bank on that. That's what God wants for you and I. Everything, when the Lord comes to deal with our heart, it's for the purpose of bringing out what is right and noble and good in our heart and our life. Of His own will beget He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Of His own will, did you know it's His great desire? He looked down and saw you and I in our ruined state, and it's His own will said, "My son, there's only one perfect sacrifice in that." It's God's will. Of His own will, He set in motion this plan of salvation that you and I can partake of today. And I thank Him so dearly for that. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear." Now, in a congregation, folks, it's good to put that in practice between people. Be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. But how we learn that best is to practice that before the throne of our Father. And I really believe that's what this scripture initially is dealing with. When all this gift and all this working for you and I comes down, the gifts, they're pure and holy. They come down from the Father of revealing, from the Father of lights. He comes to you and I and He says, now when we stand before such a loving Heavenly Father, let's be swift to hear. Lord, I want to hear. And as the mirror, I want to peer into that perfect law of liberty. And I see it. And sometimes we might say, "Oh, I don't like what I see." But open face now. Look at His glory. I've got to see it. Peer on it. Something ought to fix our attention on that. There are things about Calvary and the plan of salvation that ought to captivate our mind. We ought to always behold the glory of the Lord. When we begin to see what He did on Calvary, that ought to captivate and crush all resistance that we have in our heart. It ought to do that to us. Be swift to hear, slow to speak. We can cultivate an attitude of always defending me. You know, folks, that we see it in children, don't we? Saw it in my parents saw it in me when I was growing up, and the Lord still has to deal with it in me. A lot of times we would like to defend, and I've always got good reasons why I do what I do. And they seem just right to me. But then when I peer into the perfect law of liberty, sometimes my reasons don't always match up with what I see there. Let me give you an example. One time I felt like that somebody intentionally did me wrong. And really, today I do feel like they intentionally did me wrong. They meant to. You know, that's a very hard thing to deal with. And I came away from that, and I was saved, living for the Lord. And there's a certain pain, a knife that goes into your heart. I thought, trust was betrayed here, or that this happened. And I feel so. And then there's this defensive attitude begins to build. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Now, as that began to build in my heart, I came to the Lord. It was been my practice to always kneel down at night before I go to bed. It was my practice to do that. And I want to tell you, that night, I still, because it had been a habit, I was going to go ahead and do it. Opened up my Bible and read some, and it was kind of a wooden even reading. It wasn't very inspired understanding. And I went ahead and knelt down and went through some words trying to pray about, Lord help us, and all the time I was trying to do that, the Lord, the perfect law of liberty, you see. I've started seeing the glory of the Lord. And I felt condemnation, just like Adam and Eve did back in the garden when they wanted to go hide. Continue to look into that perfect law of liberty. Continue to look at His glory. Open your face. I want to tell you, dear ones, if I'd have let that grow, it would have been eternally destructive to my soul. Little inconsequent, and I had good reasons. Before I got down to pray, I had lined them up pretty good. And I felt like I had an airtight reason that I could feel this pain and this argument and this, I had a right to feel aggravated. I didn't want to call it any of that. I wanted to say I feel justified. And anytime we start bringing our human justifications before the Lord, and I begin to look at the true mirror, truly backlit by the anointing of the Father on His Son and shining His glory, all my arguments matched up with none of what happened on Calvary. When I tried to tell Jesus who I had a right to feel bad, He said, I looked down and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And He said, that was you down there hanging me on the cross. And I had to say, yes, it was me. Look into His glory. Allow what He did for you and I to change who we are. Look into the mirror. It's very valuable. We all needed it this morning before coming here. Physically we did. I imagine almost every one of us, if not every one of us, looked at a mirror before coming here. Folks, let's look into the mirror of God. Let's check who we are. Is my hair out of place? How'd I look? Shirt tucked in right? Look into, spiritually, am I in tune with You, Lord? The wrath, slow to wrath, slow to self-defense, slow to making your argument, oh, I can be here. Everybody else does it, but does it match up with His glory? And we can mount up all kinds of arguments why I can allow things in my life. But when I get alone with the Lord and I put it up against His glory, doesn't match. If it doesn't match, erase and retrace. Let Him shine in all His purity. Open face. Now don't close your eyes. Open up and see what's there. Honestly admit that's what we are. And allow the Lord to be at work divinely changing you and I into His glory. That's what He wants to do. Slow to wrath. Now, I have tried to define wrath in a little different way than what you may have thought. Sometimes we think wrath is just this, all this anger building up. But I really think sometimes when you and I just simply don't, we take our ways instead of God. We defend ourselves instead of taking God's way. It will cause you and I to, there's a defensiveness. And God sees that as wrath. That's something that's against Him. It's not openly receiving what the Lord would have you and I to receive. That is a wrathful thing against God. Very destructive. And He says here, the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. All of my defenses, all of my arguments, and I may think that they all, that's an airtight argument and it's going to hold water at the throne of God. Take it before Him right now. Look into the throne, the perfect law, see if it does. Let judgment fall on us now. The wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. You know what works the righteousness of God? It's when you and I submit to His dealings and say, Lord, here I am. That's good. I see who I am and I want to be like that. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and everything that deviates, the superfluity of those things that work for naught. This says superfluity of naughtiness. What He's talking about is those things that end up having no value. In the Sunday school lesson this morning, Brother Randy, in the adult Sunday school lesson, Brother Randy brought out about the harvest. There are some things that we can plant that we don't even want that harvest. You don't want it. Don't plant those seeds. That's a superfluity of naughtiness. You plant wheat, and there's a lot of wheat being planted right now. And next year, when that seed, that wheat comes up, and it looks like a beautiful green, everything looks the same out there, but it won't be long. There's going to be some fields that's going to have what, you ever heard the term cheat? The farmers have. Cheat is a plant that looks very much like a wheat plant. It's very difficult to identify it in its young stage. It looks like a beautiful green field of wheat. But then it begins to bring forth its fruit. It shoots up ahead of everything else. It's bold. It'll stand up there and say, I'm the first. And it will, we call it cheat. You know why? Because when you harvest, you get docked. You can't sell it. It's not valuable. Plant good wheat. Look at who we are. Don't defend what might be there. Let the winnowing wind of the Lord drive away the chaff. Leave behind the gold. That's our focus. That's our value. That's what God wants you and I to enjoy right here. Okay. Lay apart all filthiness and Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. And on the converse side, receive with meekness, with acceptance, with humility, the engrafted word. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to produce that salvation in our life. That's what we want. The fact is, every seed that we sow today will reproduce after its kind. It's a law that God set eternally. If we produce, if we sow to the flesh, we will of the flesh reap corruption. But on the other side, and here's a great and loving eternal promise, that if we sow to the Spirit, we will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's my goal. I'm not interested in corrupt seed being cast in. And the first time we can identify, there's going to be an enemy going to come and try to cast some foreign seed into our garden. But whenever we see it growing, time to get out the hole, Brother Randy, and go to hoeing. It's time to get it in our own. There's some things we might be able to get by with in our temporal gardens, but in our spiritual ones, God help us to be very vigilant. Because when we identify a foreign, when we lay ourselves over the glory of the Lord, amongst ourselves, we can come up with some pretty good arguments. We can band together and say, we're going to coalesce around this idea. We've got it, and we can write down a doctrine now, and we're going to build our whole movement. If it doesn't lay perfectly over the glory of the Lord, it's all for naught. There's no idea that I can come up with so great that is greater than God. There's no system that I can come up with that'll supersede the glory of the Lord. God wants you and I to see our place humbled down. And it's our place to put overlay who I am. Let the perfect, beautiful, powerful light of the gospel shine through the glory of the Lord and be imprinted on you and I, and then let's trace His glory in our life. There are some things for you and I to do. Now the Lord divinely works. Their submission is part of our work. When I hear it, do it. If we know to do good and neglect to do it, there's sin. Wrath. The wrath of man does not work the righteousness. But when you and I are willing to receive that engrafting, that fitting in of His pure, perfect Word into our life, putting it right in there and take root in who we are, it will cause there to be a salvation of the Lord at work in our lives. And be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only. Don't deceive ourselves by just hearing and say, wasn't that a wonderful? We can do that. We can come and we can devise someone that has a wonderful way of words, and we can have a beautiful speech. We say, wasn't that wonderful? And all walk away and still keep on who we are, deceiving ourselves. Don't do that. Peer past what I say today. Peer past the flesh. And look right on to Calvary. And I hope every one of us individually get a vision of what happened on Calvary. And behold the glory of the Lord and the divine work of His Holy Spirit in our life. What God Himself wants to affect in you and I. Peer open face. Honestly looking into that mirror. And allow the Lord to do His divine work. Hearing, not only hearing, but doing, not deceiving ourselves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man that saw his natural face and walked away and forgot. For he beholding himself goes away, straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein. Whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed. His deeds. That's my message to you this morning. Use the mirror. It's valuable. It's immensely valuable. Look into it. Pattern our lives by what we see. Allow the glory of the Lord have full effect in our life. when He identifies by His revealing light places that are unlike Him, go ahead and just pluck it up and get rid of it. Get out the old eraser. That's not me anymore. I want to adjust right over here. You will be blessed. And heaven will be your home. I want to be there too.